Thank you, Blessing Njonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Tuesday, November 11th, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sandra Nyaira.
And I'm Chris Gande.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Financially struggling Zimbabweans are being forced to transfer their sick relatives from government hospitals to private health institutions as the crippling strike by government doctors continue with no end in sight.
We are just appealing to the government of Zimbabwe to facilitate or to initiate with the funds to help the doctors with their salary.
President Robert Mugabe, speaking at Zambian President Michael Sata's burial today, attacks non-governmental organizations for allegedly being used by the West to underdevelop Africa.
And ZANU-PF chairman for Matabeleland South, Andrew Langer, today rubbished the vote of no confidence passed on him yesterday, calling it unprocedural and consensical. He says he's still in charge.
Financially struggling Zimbabweans are being forced to transfer their sick relatives and friends from most government hospitals to private health institutions in the country as the crippling strike continues to affect health services. Reporter Thomas Chiripasi has more details from the capital.
A visit by Studio 7 to two hospitals in the capital today, Parenyatwa Group of Hospitals and Harare Central Hospital, revealed that many people were not getting medical attention with no one attending to them owing to the ongoing strike by government doctors. Nesbet Nyoni, who had visited his sick relative at Harare Hospital, said the situation there is now dire.
The problem which we are facing right now is that people are not getting enough treatment from the government hospitals due to the strike being done by the doctors. So we are just appealing to the government of Zimbabwe to facilitate or to initiate with the funds to help the doctors with their salary, so that doctors may come to their respective working places.
Wakefield Mlilo told Studio 7 by phone on his way to Mutoko that his family has just transferred one of their family members who has been at Parenyatwa since Thursday and not receiving any attention.
We have decided to take him to All Souls Mission Hospital in Mutoko, where there are doctors to attend to him. It makes sense because we cannot wait for our relative to die, yet the doctors are not coming to attend to him.
Ruramai Piri, who resides in the Rugare suburb of Harare, told Studio 7 that two people have died in a neighborhood after failing to access treatment at Harare Hospital due to the ongoing strike.
Hospitals are now a death trap. The industrial action has affected a lot of things. Here in Rugare, at least two people have died because Harare Hospital is not attending to the sick. We are now resorting to faith healers.
Meanwhile, Joseph Murau, who was looking for funds to transfer his sick brother, admitted at Harare Hospital to a private clinic, urged authorities to address the doctor's demands to ensure that those who cannot afford high fees charged by private doctors have access to health.
They cannot go there with the influence of other people who doesn't even will to help those people because they don't have any way to start, to go and get attended to the private hospitals. There is no money, there is no proper articulation into those areas whereby you need a relative to go and talk about those areas in terms of the weakness or the challenges or the disease on that particular patient.
Some vendors who operate outside both Parirenyatwa and Harare Central Hospitals were also complaining of loss of revenue as their products are no longer being bought owing to the doctor's industrial action. Some nurses and supporting staff at Harare Hospital who refused to speak on tape warned that they will also embark on industrial action if doctors' salaries are increased. Doctors are demanding an increment of their salaries from $282 to at least $1,200 and other on-call allowances. The strike, started by junior doctors some 3 weeks ago, has crippled operations in most government hospitals, especially with middle-level and senior doctors joining the industrial action, calling on the authorities to increase their meager pay and improve their working conditions. The Zimbabwe Hospital Doctors Association today said progress in negotiations is slow, adding the cash-strapped government should prioritize their plight so doctors can pick up their stethoscopes and save lives. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Zambia's late President Michael Sata was buried today after a funeral attended by over 50,000 mourners who thronged the country's Heroes Stadium. Mr. Sata, who died two weeks ago in London after a long illness, was buried in the Embassy Park, the resting place of Zambian leaders. Southern African Development Community Chairperson and Zimbabwe President Robert Mugabe addressed the mourners and attacked neo-colonialists and non-governmental organizations for allegedly pushing the West's agenda on the continent. He took a swipe at the West for allegedly continuing to underdevelop Africa. Mr. Mugabe said, quote, "We forget that we still need to fight an anti-imperialist war. They now come dressed as NGOs. They look at how they can influence our governments, our people. They give money to our people to corrupt them," unquote. He said he worked well with Mr. Sata and hoped to continue the relationship with his successor.
Mr. Sata had led Zambia since winning an election in 2011 that ended the 20 years of rule by the Movement for Multi-Party Democracy Party. But there is no clarity on who will succeed him, as his death has left a huge void in his ruling Patriotic Front, which he formed in 2001. Zambian Vice President and Interim President Guy Scott has said a presidential election will be held within 90 days. Mr. Scott is not eligible to run for the presidency because his parents were from Scotland. Last month, however, the Zambian government presented lawmakers with a new draft constitution that would eliminate the Zambian-born parent requirement for candidates. Zambia's Center for Policy Dialogue Executive Director, Neo Simutani, tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that it will be difficult to succeed Mr. Sata as his party was built around him.
What is going on is that, as you know, the PF was built around the personality of Michael Sata. So really what gave it popularity, what attracted people to the PF, and what held the PF together as a ruling party was the personality of Michael Sata. Now, his departure definitely has left a big vacuum, and almost everyone now is wrestling for his position and take over from him. And their factions are now positioning themselves to succeed him. I think the challenge really is whether the party will hold together.
But are you confident that the transition will be peaceful?
I think it will be peaceful. I think Zambia is known for being peaceful. There may be a bit of bickering within the ruling political front, but I think that for them to ensure that they retain power, they may be forced to unite.
Lastly, across the border in Zimbabwe, there's a lot of chaos as to who will succeed President Robert Mugabe should he decide to step down. What can Zimbabwe learn from Zambia?
I think the big lesson that Zimbabwe can learn, but also that Zambia can actually learn from other countries, is that it's important to have a very clear succession plan, a constitutional guarantee succession, as is the case, for example, in Botswana, which is very predictable. But also, I think introduction of a clause in the Constitution that makes a vice president running mate is another way of ensuring a smooth transition. We saw how this happened in Nigeria, in Ghana, and in Malawi. But as for Zimbabwe, I think that Mr. Robert Mugabe has an opportunity right now to manage the transition before he steps down or before something happens to him.
That was the Zambia's Center for Policy Dialogue Executive Director Niyosi Mutani speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Lusaka. Heads of state of Kenya, Madagascar and Namibia also attended the burial.
We also reached political analyst Chamu Madiridzire, who a PhD candidate at the University of Cape Town, who says President Robert Mugabe had a healthy relationship with the late Zambian leader Sata.
First and foremost, I must say, President Mugabe is going to Zambia in various capacities. Firstly, he's going to Zambia as the chairperson of SADC. He's going there to exercise regional female diplomacy, and he's also going there as the president of Zimbabwe. You would know that Zimbabwe and Zambia, during SADC's time, they enjoyed cordial relations, I must say. There were very warm relations between the two countries. Zimbabwe could do many things with Zambia. They recently hosted the UNWTO General Assembly. There are so many projects that they are doing in the tourism sector. They are also close, countries, because you would find when Zimbabwe is hunger-stricken, in terms of food security, it would turn to Zambia.
We have an acting president in Zambia, Mr. Guy Scott, and he's white. Here is President Robert Mugabe, who's known to have rather frosty relations with white people. What's your take on that?
It's a very controversial relationship, I must say. But in international politics, it's an issue of realism coming into play.
That was political analyst Chamu Madiridzire, a PhD candidate at the University of Cape Town in South Africa.
ZANU-PF chairman for Matabeleland South, Andrew Langer, today rubbished the vote of no confidence passed on him yesterday, calling it unprocedural and nonsensical. He says he is still in charge. The measure stemmed from allegations that Langer had tried to sabotage First Lady Grace Mugabe's rally in Gwanda and that he was aligning himself with a faction that wants President Robert Mugabe out of office. His accusers also accused the Sports and Culture Minister of disrespecting Mrs. Grace Mugabe. Though he has refused to grant a radio interview to Studio 7 today, Langer hit back with a written statement saying, quote, "I have never disrespected the First Lady as alleged," close quote, adding he reveres the First Family. He also said the violence-filled Gwanda meeting that sanctioned his removal yesterday or alleged removal yesterday was improperly constituted and therefore had no legal effect. For analysis on the ongoing chaos in ZANU-PF, reporter Ntungameli Nkomo reached political analyst Dumisani Nkomo.
It's a deliberate, calculated, orchestrated, and choreographed attempt at reducing the power of the Njuru faction, which has been controlling the Politburo, which has been controlling the provincial structures. So the idea is to really weaken it, and if possible, according to another faction, maybe almost destroy it. But that is the idea, to really weaken the Mujuru faction. But I don't think the President Mugabe wants it to be totally destroyed. He wants it to be weak. The other faction may want it to be destroyed, but the President just wants a weak Mujuru faction.
The faction allegedly led by Mujuru has largely been quiet except for a few individuals. Do you think this so-called quiet diplomacy is working for them?
At least I think it's not quiet diplomacy. I'm sure they're strategizing quietly. And at times, by keeping quiet, disempower your opponent, because they don't know what you're up to. Lions, when they're attacking their prey, they don't roar, they don't make a lot of noise. They keep quiet, they remain covert, they camouflage whatever they do. So I'm sure that faction is camouflaging what they want to do. I'm sure they're trying to be covert.
That was political analyst Dumisani Nkomo on the line with reporter Ntungameli Nkomo in Bulawayo.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Coming up,
we take a look at Veterans Day or commemoration days which are being marked in the United States and Europe today.
But first of all, we take a look at regional and international news.
Our first one, Chris, Nigerian President Goodluck Jonathan says he will seek a second full term as head of Africa's most populous country and number one oil producer. Mr. Jonathan made the expected announcement at a rally in the capital, Abuja, today. It came during a speech in which the Nigerian leader touted his record and also called for a minute of silence to honor 48 students killed in the bombing of a secondary school in Yobe State. Militant group Boko Haram is suspected in yesterday's attack.
U.S. President Barack Obama and Russian President Vladimir Putin have met briefly on the sidelines of a conference in Beijing, covering a few of the key local issues on which their governments do not agree. Mr. Obama and Mr. Putin flanked Chinese President Jinping and exchanged comments about the room as leaders walked into the venue for today's Asia-Pacific summit.
And Somalia's parliament sank into chaos today as lawmakers tried to debate a no-confidence motion against the country's prime minister. Supporters of Prime Minister Abdiwell Sheikh Ahmed started shouting, blowing whistles and banging on empty jugs soon after the debate on the motion began, drowning out lawmakers trying to speak. The parliament speaker eventually closed the session, citing the noise. It was not clear when or if a parliament would discuss the measure again.
The Commercial Farmers Union says the government should prioritize agriculture in its 2015 budget to ensure the country produces its own food, unlike now when it's spending millions buying from other countries. CFU President Hendrik Olivier says money being used on importing food should be used to assist local farmers. The union says the revival of the farming sector will also create jobs for millions who are currently unemployed. The CFU and the Zimbabwe Commercial Farmers Union are uniting in their clarion call for the government not to waste money on food that can be produced in the country. CFU Chief Executive Officer Hendrik Olivier tells reporter Jonga Kandemiri they have submitted their proposals to the Treasury for consideration in the next budget.
What we are asking is that agriculture needs to be prioritized. There needs to be funding set aside to develop infrastructure development on the farms. For the last 15 years, we haven't seen much development take place. Machinery equipment is very old. And, of course, also government needs to put funding available so that we can start the process of compensating the farmers for the land that has been acquired in terms of the laws of this country. Government interacts with every stakeholder, and government receives inputs from every stakeholder. Since we've made this presentation to the Parliamentary and Portfolio Committee, there has been other interaction again. And we hope that government will be sincere and take the recommendations that we are making on board. And you must remember it's for the whole of agriculture in Zimbabwe, not only for the white commercial farmers, as people think. It's for the whole of the agricultural sector.
You also mentioned that the government is wasting a lot of money importing food. What do you think the government must do to avoid this?
I think government must create the environment and look after its own farmers. It must look after its own producers in its own country. It must set policy, the right policy in place so that we can produce food here that is competitive. Instead of importing cheap imports from other countries, which is landing here on the market much cheaper than what our producers can produce.
And that was CFU Chief Executive Officer Hendrik Olivier in Harare with Studio 7 reporter Jonga Kandemiri.
A major concert in Washington, D.C. is among the many events planned across the United States today to mark the Veterans Day holiday. About 800,000 people are expected to gather at the National Mall in Washington, D.C. for the Concert for Valor, featuring such great acts as rock and roll legend Bruce Springsteen, rhythm and blues singer Rihanna, country star Carrie Underwood, and heavy metal band Metallica. Organizers are hoping to use the concert to raise awareness for organizations aimed at helping military veterans once they leave active service. The Veterans Day holiday was first observed in the United States in 1919 as Armistice Day, celebrating the formal agreement signed in Versailles, France on November 11, 1918, that ended World War I. Armistice Day became an official U.S. holiday in 1938 and remained so until 1954, when it was renamed Veterans Day in the aftermath of both World War II and the Korean War. The U.S. Veterans Day holiday also coincides with other World War I era holidays around the world, including Remembrance Day in Britain and the Commonwealth Nations of Australia and Canada. Zimbabwean immigrant Diana Chageza, whose husband is in the United States Army and currently based in Afghanistan, tells the Studio 7's Marvelous Mtlanganyawuye she is proud of the work her husband is doing for this country.
You know, we're so proud of him. You know, we're really proud of him. He's doing his civic duty to this country. He's doing the duty that, as an immigrant who came from another country and settled in the U.S., he understands that for us to be able to live in this country, there's somebody who sacrificed for this country to be a better place. So him doing that is a good example to our children. So whether or not one supports politics, it is aside from the point, but somebody has made this country to be a country that immigrants want to be able to immigrate to.
On this Veterans Day, where veterans are being honored, what do you and other wives on your camp do to honor the work that your husbands are currently doing and for those others that have served before him?
We do various activities just to remind the veterans and those who are still active duty that we have not forgotten them, that we appreciate what they're doing, we appreciate the service that they're doing in the country. We do various activities. We do care packages that we send to those who are currently deployed. As a community, you find that all restaurants are free to all veterans today, which is very good. It's just that all the businesses and all the army spouses and everybody around just cherish the veterans on this day. And I just encourage everybody, if you might not know the person who lives next door to you, they might be a veteran. You can just go and just say, hey, you know what? Thank you for your service. Thank you for making this country a better place for me to live in.
And where is your husband stationed right now? Do you get a chance to communicate with him on Veterans Day today?
We are very privileged that we do have access to be able to communicate more regularly than people would have done back then. He's currently serving in Afghanistan, so we're very proud of him.
That was the Zimbabwean immigrant Diana Chageza, whose husband is serving in the U.S. Army. She spoke there with Studio 7's Marvelous Mtlanganyawuye from Fort Bragg in North Carolina in the United States.
In Zimbabwe, which celebrates its war veterans on Heroes Day, both dead and alive, some war veterans say the government should seriously consider introducing War Veterans Day in honor of those who participated in the liberation struggle of the 1970s, which led to independence in 1980. For perspective, Studio 7's Gibbs Dube speaks with war veteran Max Mkandla and social commentator Tavang Nare. Mkandla says there are various stumbling blocks in introducing such a day in Zimbabwe, where war veterans get at least a monthly pension of $150.
The problem that we have that is that the war veterans themselves are just good, you know, campaigners of a certain political party. That's why there is no respect in the form of war veterans. And as a result, they are just spearheading a political party's agenda, yet they've got their own constitution, and the party has got its own. And then it appears as if the war veterans are belonging to a certain political party. This is why there is no that respect and an identity of the war veterans themselves.
Your take on this issue, Mr. Nari, do you think that Zimbabwe should have a War Veterans Day?
that's actually a very good idea. You know, when you look at the Veterans Day, which is celebrated in the U.S. there, and even the days that have been celebrated in the Remembrance Day in the United Kingdom, these are people that fought during the World War II, and they fought because they believed in freedom. They believed in a certain cause. And this is why they are celebrated and they are remembered, because they stopped the spread of fascism and all other forms of oppression during that time. So in our case also, we had the liberation struggle. And during the liberation struggle, we had two political parties. Well, it so happens that they now united in 1987. But it's also good to celebrate the achievements of the two armed wings that we're in, because that's part of our history.
Mr. Mkandla, have you ever lobbied government to actually have a War Veterans Day? Or you're just maybe complaining from the sidelines?
We are just complaining from the sideline, because the problem that we have, we seem to identify ourselves with a certain political party. Therefore, the government, the entire government, cannot take the matter seriously. When we talk of a government, we are not talking of a ruling party, but we are talking of the state on its own. But therefore, we are not there definitely to be identifying ourselves as an organization with a certain political party. That is where we have got the problem. We have forgotten the end of the armed struggle, actually what we actually fought for.
What do we blame here, Mr. Nari?
Some Kansha, the war veterans, they need to step up their efforts in demanding and recognizing, getting their recognition. Of course, it's unfortunate in the past when they got recognition, they also got quite a bit of money from government then. And people did not, it was almost like they were thanked in a big way then. But I think it's good to put things into perspective, that apart from receiving whatever gratuities, financial, they get from government, it's important that they get that recognition.
Now, Mr. Mkandla, we know that at one stage you were given a gratuities of up to about $50,000. Can you say really that you have been neglected by the government?
That lump sum of money, it definitely we were given that as war veterans. And then that money to be compensated, it was just not easy. There were massive demonstrations day, night, and et cetera, et cetera. So that shows that we don't have somebody there who is actually standing for the war veterans. We don't have the minister who is actually directly involved in the issues of the war veterans. Even the commanders, senior commanders, they are failing actually to articulate this because of political differences and then the objectives of the armed struggle. You find that if such an issue can be raised by somebody from the Zipra camp, the issue, the idea will be denied and it will be labeled as a dissident. Then we've got a problem, we've got a crisis in the country. This is not something that we are actually looking at, but the unit of the people and then the recognition of the war veterans. That calendar, our calendar, we must have it that very day of the War Veterans Day.
That was war veteran Max Mkandla. You also heard from social commentator Thabang Nare speaking to Studio 7's Gibbs Dube from Bulawayo.
Now, Chris, one or two emails. Let me read the first one. It says, big up, guys. How are you doing? You are doing a sterling job. Kunoku Zimbabwe, things have fallen apart in the ruling party. Inindi nonzi enso.
And I have one from Mataro who says, how are you, Studio 7? Keep up, keep on moving.
And the last one that we'll read for today, we'll read more tomorrow, Chris, but this one says, thank you guys for good news that you give us on a daily basis. This is good, more gems in South Africa. Please keep them rolling in. We'll try to read some more emails tomorrow. We have a lot of them. Thank you so much. But Chris, before we go, just a reminder to our listeners to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk today. What are we discussing for today on Live Talk? The doctors and the hospitals.
Yes.
So please do call in and join the discussion. Text us at 001-202-465-0318 so we can call you back on from our studios.
Before we go, Sandy, just a quick recap of today's top stories.
Financially struggling Zimbabweans, Chris, are being forced to transfer their sick relatives from government hospitals to private institutions because of the crippling strike by Zimbabwe's doctors.
And President Robert Mugabe, speaking at Zambian President Michael Sata's burial, attacks non-governmental organizations. That's all for tonight. My name is Chris Gande. Good night, Zimbabwe.
And I'm Sandra Nyaira, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night. Leaving you with Standekile and Ntungamili with the Ndebele News.